You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
It's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast. And OMG, who is this new fellow with us right here? It's the king of the dimples, Gary Babyface Barnage has returned to the podcast.
I'm so excited.
2021. Gotta get rid of that beard from the COVID look.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to get over there to kiss that face. Wow. He has a little ponytail. Like, what's going on with
that? You got the boy band look going on right now, which I gotta know, Gary, has your swipes gone up on Bumble or Tinder now that you're back babyface?
Or Grindr, or whatever you prefer.
Wow.
I'm actually not on any of those anymore.
You just broke a lot of hearts out there, Gary.
You're not on any of those anymore?
Nope. But I had to get rid of the beard. You know, it was COVID chic for 2020. So
COVID chic.
It went from March until yesterday, or yeah, January 1st. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
3 days ago, whatever it was. A couple days ago.
Wow.
And so had to get that shave gone. Now I'm back to my clean shaven baby face, which I love because that's what it's all about. I don't like my facial hair. I don't like it at all. So
it's glad. I'm going to tell you the frustrating part. So when people know that you're friends with Gary, and obviously Gary has the ultimate good guy persona, I don't know if he just looks that much better because I'm just that bad, or if people just want to not like me and really like Gary. But one of my homegirls since high school, no, we go back to like junior high school, friends for a very long time. She doesn't have a type, but she would always talk about like, yeah, you know, I'd never date a white guy, you know, none of this. And I'm like, okay, you're kind of limiting yourself. You shouldn't do that. Well, anyway, she calls me and she goes, I need to tell Gary something. And I'm like, okay. So I put him on three-way and she tells Gary like about her hair and stuff like that. And she says something that made me hang up on her. So we're all three on the call and she goes, Gary, I didn't know you had dimples till like right now. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Like that, she was like, I've been knowing him all this time and I never saw his dimples. They're cute. I hung up on her. So then I text her on the side and I'm like, yo, I'm blocking you for 12 hours because you made that comment. She was like, what? I was like, for real about Gary? She was like, I think Gary's hot. And like, I couldn't talk to her for a whole 24 hours. So yeah, she thinks Gary is hot. And I'm like, okay.
Just, everybody's confused because all they're used to seeing is the beard. Now it's out to a new look.
That's what it is. Okay. Well, you got me out here hanging up on people. Yeah. What we got today, Tom?
What about you, D'Angelo? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty, it was pretty easy, man. This weekend we went live to shave off Gary's beard and we went through a transition, where he went from Amish to Mutt and Chops to Gangs of New York to, it was pretty fun. Well, I was in tears, bro, with him shaving his beard off, but that was probably the most significant thing that probably happened this weekend other than us putting up all our Legos. We got a bunch of Mario Legos for Christmas for the kids, and apparently they all connect and it's interactive, the things that they do with Legos these days. I remember when Legos, like back in the days when you got those, it was like the best, but it didn't really come with instructions. You kind of use your imagination. To like now, you know, you can build anything and they come in packages to show you how to build certain things with these Legos, to where now they're interactive. Like, so there's a Mario kit that you buy all these other little kits, you connect them together and you literally can play Mario throughout the Legos, which is really interesting and really great. But that's literally all I did this weekend. What about you, Tom?
Well, I have had a very eventful weekend because, as you know, working in the nightclub industry, New Year's Eve is always one of the biggest times of the year for us. So that was interesting, even though we are at half capacity And my most exciting thing about this weekend, honestly, was watching Gary shave his beard, though.
Yeah.
That was literally the highlight. Cause it was funny because I woke up and I had, like, a couple tags on it from people that know that I know you, Gary, I guess, and follow you, or just, like, making comments and talking about how you look like you're in a boy band. And I don't know, Gary. Just I really feel like 2021 is going to be your year now after you were scruffed up for all of 2020.
Yeah, it was a whole different look for almost a full year. So it's not my normal look.
Which we're going to go ahead and break the announcement now. Gary is actually, since he just started his reality TV career, he is actually going to be the next Bachelor. Go ahead, Gary.
That would never happen.
Congratulations.
That would never happen. You can get me on Survivor. No, never. Never gonna be on the Bachelor. Get me on Survivor, maybe the Challenge, but never the Bachelor. Never the Bachelorette. None of that stuff. That's not my speed.
All right. But I mean, you know, there was catching Kelsey. Why not grabbing Gary?
No.
All right. Well, I did want to ask y'all, because as many of you that know the fellas know that D'Angelo used to be on the Steelers and Gary was on the Browns, and so that was always a fun little rivalry. So I've got to ask, because D, you got a lot of hate spewed toward the Browns after the past few years because they're pretty much trash every year. But this year, they're making it. What do you see them doing in the playoffs, D? Are they gonna be anything?
Look, first of all, I got congratulations, Austin Hooper. He's one of the guys that went to AFWB with us. Congratulations to you. I know this is your first year in that franchise. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2002. So I'm going to put that in perspective for you. That's 18 years and months and weeks and of just being a Cowboys fan. That's basically what you were. Yes, if you the Browns and the Cowboys is the same organization, minus all the Super Bowl trophies that are stowed away somewhere in the archives, or some random Cowboy fan that get that itch and want to come at somebody's neck and haven't won since, you know, God knows when. But I digress. But yeah, congratulations to the Browns. But it's going to be interesting. I think they have enough to make some noise in the playoffs.
So my thing is, obviously, I play for the Browns, so I'm happy they made the playoffs. But I also felt like the Steelers really could have screwed themselves because they set all their players in week 17, and they could have made sure the Browns didn't make the playoffs by winning the game. So how ironic would it be if the Browns eliminated the Steelers in the playoffs because they chose to sit all of their starters or a lot of their starters and rest them for the playoffs? Because now they're going to have a week off. The Browns are going to be hungry now. Oh, you didn't want to play your guys against us. You let us in the playoffs not worrying about us. Now they have more motivation to eliminate you out. So imagine that, how ironic that would be. You could have made sure they never made it in the playoffs, but because you wanted to rest your guys, they could knock y'all out.
I think the Browns do have enough to knock the Steelers out. I think if you look at the AFC North as it sits right now, I would rank them this way. And I'm not looking at records. I'm just talking about play and how they've played the last 5-6 weeks. I would go the Baltimore Ravens at 1. I would go the Cleveland Browns 2. And I would go Pittsburgh Steelers 3. Not based on record, just the last month of playing football and how they look. The same thing that you saw out of Mason Rudolph yesterday was pretty much indicative of what Ben has been doing the last 5 or 6 weeks. He hadn't been playing well either. So to sit him and the rest of your starters and to lose the game the way that you lost the game, I think that, you know, you gotta hope going into it that you catch a rhythm and you ride that wave, because the Steelers have the defense to do it. The offense is where their problem is. And it's vice versa for the Browns, because the Browns has the offense. I just don't know if their defense is strong enough. So they match up well against the Steelers, actually. I don't think either one of those teams match up well with Baltimore, because you don't know if you're going to get Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde with that defense over there, and how well Lamar going to play when you play him. You know, is he going to be that strategic run pass quarterback? Is he just going to be that quarterback that can't hit the broad side of a barn and he has to run every play? So it's going to be interesting. I don't think the AFC North is strong enough, period, to win it all.
No, I don't think they are either. I don't think none of the teams get past the Chiefs on that at all. I don't think any of the teams would, even if they made it, I don't think they could beat the Packers, because I think the Packers are going to go from the other side. I think it's going to be Packers-Chiefs. My prediction as of right now.
That's your prediction in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
As What's right your now. Prediction, Tom?
I definitely like the Chiefs, but golly, I'm going to go Saints. Saints and Chiefs.
Saints, Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are going to make it, and here's why. They got to sit that first. They get that first round bye. They get the first round bye, so they get a chance to sit. So they essentially have been sitting for 2 weeks. I don't know a team yet. Getting guys healthy, you know. Hopefully Mahomes get on. If I'm Mahomes right now, I want to contract COVID right now and get that over with, because you don't want to do that in the second round of the playoffs or within the playoffs. I don't even know how the NFL would even handle that. If a key player like that was to get COVID, and that's one of the things that we can't account for as we say, hey, this is why we're picking this team. Because if Aaron Rodgers come down with COVID, that game's over. Sure. They're not winning the game. It's a wrap. So how do you as an NFL, and I know I'm changing the subject here, but how is you as an NFL organization, Aaron Rodgers come down with COVID, you just set a precedence in the regular season because Cam Newton got it, and you forced New England to play without Cam in a regular season game. So what's your justification once we get to the playoffs and it's a significant player that's not allowed to play due to COVID protocol? Then how do you handle that?
And the Denver Broncos play without a quarterback.
Right.
So how
do you handle it?
That's, you can't. That's the thing. I don't know what they're going to do. They say it's going to be just like normal. They're not going to delay anything for competitive disadvantages. But you're going to tell me that if it happened in the Super Bowl, the week of the Super Bowl, one of the star quarterbacks or gets COVID that's in the game, whatever, you say they're going to not delay the Super Bowl? Get out of here. You're not going to let one team just go out and blow them out knowing the other team has no chance. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100% agreed. If somebody – like Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers was going to miss Super Bowl, I think they're going to delay it because that's too much. That's too much star power. I am interested to hear y'all's take on the Bills. What do you think about them? I think they're kind of like the sneaky team that could possibly get there.
So the Bills are the only team, in my opinion, that's strong enough to beat the Chiefs. They're strong enough to beat the Chiefs, but can they do it? I'm not so sure about that, but I do know that Baltimore is definitely strong enough to beat the Chiefs. I want to say the Browns, but Mayfield is so sketchy, bro. I love their offense, man. I mean,
I just think the Chiefs have too much power on offense. It's gonna be, you got to have a really stout defense. Now, if Myles Garrett wreaks havoc, yeah, he can cause issues as long as Denzel Ward's playing well. That's the thing, is you got to have everybody clicking, because if one of them's not, the Chiefs are going to expose it.
Yeah, yeah, you have a point there. But I think the Bills, they're strong enough to beat the Chiefs defensively.
And
I just don't know
what they don't. As we've seen all year, there hasn't been a safety or linebacker that's been in a matchup with Kelce. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think anybody has that. What are you going to put your receiver on them? I mean, your best corner on them? Then you got Tyreek Hill out there. Good luck. It's tough. They're tough matchup. So it's a interesting to see how things are going to work. I do like I like McDermott. I think he has good plans on defense with the Bills. So I think it would be a good matchup, but I don't think we're going to get – you wouldn't see that until the championship, I don't think. I think the Bills are going to be the 2 seed. Right. I'm not sure. And then so you might see Baltimore versus Kansas City first.
Yeah.
So I don't know what all the seeds are going to be.
I'm telling you right now, man, Baltimore has enough to knock off Kansas City because they're stout on defense. The only and this is what you want as a team. You want the X factor to be at the quarterback position. We just got to see how good LaVar's going to play. I mean, Lamar. We got
to
see.
Lamar is all going to come down to his passing. Yep. Everybody knows he can run, but if they force him to throw the ball, he's got to be accurate with it and produce. And if he does that, then that's a whole other level.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, with when it comes to these teams and making a thing is, do we have so many people that I feel like you don't know what you're going to get out of them? Like you said, Baker Mayfield, he could throw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, or he could throw for 89 and 3 interceptions. Lamar Jackson, the same way. You just don't know what you're going to get from him. So to Gary's point, the Chiefs are just – they seem just so steady. And, I mean, I'm interested to hear D'Angelo, because this is your boy. Do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to play a factor in these playoffs now that he's kind of getting settled into the system? You know, Edwards-Helaire's kind of been in and out.
I'm going to tell you, with the league, the way that it's gone right now until this day, I don't think – so you have to – you literally have to structure your team around the run game in order for your run game to be effective. You look over at Tennessee and you see Henry. You look over in Minnesota and you see what they're doing over there with Cook. You have to – like even CMC in Charlotte, here in Charlotte, they kind of put that offense – around the running back. But most of the teams, even Alvin Kamara, like he gets a lot of love out there, and with Drew Brees and New Orleans, there's certain teams that structure their offense around their running back. And then the rest of them, they just use their running back to supplement their pass game. And that's how Kansas City is. Everybody know that that's Mahomes' team. They go as far as Mahomes take them. Aaron Rodgers, they go as far as Aaron Rodgers take them. Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, they go as far as Ben takes them. Same way with Lamar, same way with Mayfield. They go as far, and I'm only saying they go as far with Mayfield is because of this. I honestly, wholeheartedly believe that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is the strongest, best backfield combined in the National Football League. However, Nick Chubb's very effective when he runs the ball, but the way that that offense is geared towards Baker Mayfield, which is really weird when they could just feature Nick Chubb. It's just it's a weird dynamic, but they make it work, and because they make it work, that's why they're now 11-5 and sitting in the playoffs.
Well, I think it's interesting when you mention the Nick Chubb and stuff and Hunt. I think with them, if you look back at the Jets game, they didn't have any real receivers. Everybody was out. But the Jets destroyed the run game. They couldn't do anything against the Jets defense, and they just stacked the box and made you beat them with the pass. So I could see that being something that defenses do in the playoffs. They could stock the box. Hey, you're not going to beat us with your run. We know you can run the ball. We're going to make Baker beat us. And Baker has the ability to do it. It's the question, will he be able to do it in that one game? Because he's had his flashes, and then he's had his games where he didn't play well. So, like you said, same with Lamar. You don't know what you're going to get. Big Ben the last 5 weeks, you haven't been getting the normal Big Ben. So you never know with all the only people you know what you're going to get, you usually know what you're going to get with Mahomes. You know what you're going to get with Breeze. You know what you're going to get with Rodgers. Breeze, though, he may have a little struggle because Kamara tested positive for COVID. He might miss a playoff game. So we don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. Also, too, I didn't give y'all my predictions. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl this year. And I want them to go because it's in Florida. They'll be the first team to do it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They'll be the first team to do it, and it'll be insane. But this is the only reason why I want Tampa to go. Because of all the COVID restrictions and protocols and stuff like that, them not being able to fill the stadium and support their team.
NFL's going to find some way to make it where the stadium can be filled.
No, that I haven't thought about, D'Angelo. That's a great point. Like, the first time in history a home team has made it to the Super Bowl and they would not be able to pack it out with their own fans because of COVID. That is very interesting.
Right.
It doesn't even matter if a home team ever makes it to the Super Bowl at their home, because your fans aren't going to get tickets anyways. Too many tickets go to businesses and stuff like that that make money. They're not going to just give it to fans. You get your few amount to get fans, but they reserve so many tickets for celebrities, high-profile people, that's why the tickets are so expensive. And so they're never going to have no home game in the Super Bowl will ever truly have a home field advantage because of their fans, because they just don't give enough tickets to the fans.
True, but I'm going Buffalo, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I will say it is interesting because everybody's like, oh, Brady can't do it without Belichick. Brady brought Tampa to the playoffs. Belichick, they missed the playoffs. So now here's your debate. Was Brady making Belichick better, or was it just good together? I know we had that conversation before the season started. So, hey, things are playing out. Brady's still able to do it on another team.
I'm gonna tell you exactly who Tom Brady is. And Tom, you'll understand this, and Gary, you'll understand this too. What band did Justin Timberlake come from?
NSYNC.
Absolutely. So NSYNC is the New England Patriots.
Tom Brady? Justin Timberlake?
Absolutely. He could go anywhere and be successful.
So you're saying the same thing with Peyton Manning the same way?
Yes. Even though his last year when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl, he was trash. It was absolutely all that defense. Anybody at quarterback could have won that game. Like that
right.
season.
Well, was it you said you couldn't play dead in a Western? Isn't that your famous line?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember they got on your ass for that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that. But yeah, my thing about it is though, yes, Tom Brady has done well this year, but look at the weapons he has around him, that defense. The Patriots, that's some god awful trash.
It's the same receivers and stuff Brady had previously when he made him to the playoffs. Just saying.
Absolutely.
That defense ain't as good, I guess.
Just saying.
Sounds like you're making a whole bunch of damn excuses over there, Tom.
Have both made so many of their players better by them being there and maybe able to do it with less than stellar cast, and then they made the cast stellar.
Listen here. Cam Newton is a baller. So if he can't take that Patriots team.
Did you already see the news? He's not going to be back in New England next year?
Oh, I already figured that. Yeah.
And it's going to be a couple more years, and then Bill Belichick won't be back in New England.
Bill Belichick coach?
Might not be that many.
True.
Do you think he'll coach somewhere else?
No. When he's done, he's done.
Yeah, he's going to take that legacy.
The dream scenario for D'Angelo, Bill Belichick leaves the Patriots to go coach the Dallas Cowboys and takes them to 5 more championships. How's that sound, D?
Won't happen.
I don't even want to talk to you, Tom. Can we go to the next topic? I don't even want to talk to you right now.
Well, real quick, while we're on football, I know, D'Angelo, you wanted to ask Gary this question. So you want to go ahead and ask it?
Yes. I want you to ask it.
Okay. Gary, is Thomas Davis a Hall of Famer?
I'm going to say his numbers. See, I don't know his exact numbers, so I can't tell you on that. His longevity is going to get him numbers that will warrant the Hall of Fame. So, yes, I think he will be. But I know he had 3 years he missed because of injuries. But I think his numbers, because his longevity is still playing right now. So I think the longevity helps with the numbers, especially defensively when it comes to tackles and stuff. And I guarantee. But again, is he going to go in over a Ray Lewis type? No. Is he going to go in over – that's the argument with Luke Kuechly. Would he go in – I don't think Luke's a Hall of Famer either.
Oh, really?
He only played 7 years. You got to have the numbers over the time. Yes, you cut it short because of – he got cut short because of injury and stuff like that. I understand that. But I don't think that – you have to be able to produce the numbers to warrant – the Hall of Fame. If the Hall of Fame's the best of the best, you have to this long, like you said all the time with LeBron and Jordan, yeah. It's longevity is part of it.
Right. I agree. That's part of it. So
I'm gonna give you his numbers real quick.
Like Patrick Willis is on the bubble. Patrick Willis played longer than Luke, and he has more stats, but I still think he's on the bubble. And I think Patrick Willis is probably up there.
Yeah, so he has 1,216 tackles. 357 of those were assisted. He had 29 sacks, 13 interceptions on 79 yards.
Well, where do those rank, though? That's the thing I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Well, what do you think about Barry Sanders then, Gary?
Barry Sanders, his numbers, actually, he had the numbers. He's one of the top 10 backs of all time, number-wise, and he only played 9 to 10 seasons. He put the numbers up in a less amount of time. he still has the numbers to back it up. So, yes, he's a Hall of Famer because he has the numbers to back it up. I think if you have the numbers, if you can get the numbers in 5 years, yes, you're a Hall of Famer. But you have to have the numbers to back it up, not projected. Oh, if he would have stayed on track for another 4 years, he'd have been the best ever. No, he didn't, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. So I'm going to go because you just convinced me, Gary, I'm going to say Thomas Davis isn't a Hall of Famer just based on what Gary literally just said. Because I can't see him getting in over Patrick Willis. I can't see him Bowman. I can't see him getting in over, you know, guys like that that were stellar for every year. And then again, he just said Luke Kuechly's not a Hall of Famer. So you think Thomas Davis would get in over Luke?
Eh.
And I think Luke would have been a Hall of Famer if he got the finishes, but he got injured and he wasn't able to. So he wasn't able to put up the numbers. I understand people will say, oh, you can't penalize injury. Well, then you also can't give a bonus because they didn't have the numbers that everybody else had and they got injured. I just don't see it that way.
I like that.
I know you brought up Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders has the numbers in the less amount of years, and he did it with no offensive line.
I like it.
Well, like I don't know. I think Luke Kuechly's stats are still, like, pretty – I don't know. And I think that's going to be one of those things where he was so good for the amount of time he played that he'll still be able to get in. But that kind of, like, brings me to the point of, you know, that is kind of like when we talk about MJ. Like, MJ was so great for a much shorter period of time.
And he had the numbers to back it up.
Right. What I'm saying is LeBron's going to pass him in everything and has going to be had an apex for a higher amount of time. And that's what
he's going to play longer than Jordan. Jordan had better numbers, win shorter games.
Well, no, Jordan's numbers aren't going to be better, but he had a higher apex, if you want to call it that.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. Jordan numbers right now are better than LeBron's numbers, and LeBron has played 16 years.
Only in points.
Okay.
But we'll digress.
Just to clarify, Thomas Davis is 24th on the all-time tackle leaders.
That's good.
And of the all-time leader, the number two tackle leader is not in the Hall of Fame. The number four is not, five is not, six not, seven is not.
You need names.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 are all not.
Okay.
So Ray Lewis is the leader. London Fletcher's number two.
Oh.
Derek Brooks is in. He's number three. He's a Hall of Famer. Donnie Edwards is number four. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Carlos Dansby, who I played with, is number seven. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's tied with Junior Seau, who is in the Hall of Fame.
Gotcha.
Then you have Rondé Barber, corner, who has more tackles.
Oh, wow.
Have, Lawyer Malloy, safety. You have Charles Woodson. Safety / corner, they have more tackles.
They'll be in the Hall of Fame. Every one of those names you just said, yeah.
Yes, no,
but
I agree.
Won't get in before them.
Yes. Yeah. James Ferrier, Steelers, more tackles. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
James will get in. He won't get in.
He's number 13, though. That's why I say you got to have the numbers to back it up. Let's see. Okay, let's see where Luke's at. I'm trying to see where Luke Kuechly's at.
Okay.
He's not in the top 50.
He's got 1,000 something because I was looking at his stats. So
Patrick Willis has more. Luke Kuechly has six. This is only solo. 690 solo.
Okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
But you got to look at those interceptions, sacks, tackles for loss, all that fun stuff.
Well, you can tell he's a Carolina Panthers fan. But you got to look at so many other things.
Hey,
you got to look how he conducted himself
Luke.
Off the field.
Luke!
He was a good guy. Yeah,
Luke is tattooed on every Carolina Panthers fan heart after that time where he sat up and was crying after his concussion. Remember, because like he couldn't help crying, and so he's on the field like crying. He is tattooed in every Panthers fan's heart after that moment. So you can't talk about our boy Luke.
I love Luke to death. I'm just saying, if you want to bring in the Hall of Fame, they have to have the numbers. That's all I'm saying. If he has the numbers, then yes, he deserves to be in.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, D, I think we have reached a segment where you talk about what you were.
Watching. Okay. I got a question for you guys. And, you know, hopefully you guys understand what the question I'm asking. The question that I'm asking is how do you support an average person? And an average person is somebody that goes through life that doesn't play sports, doesn't necessarily make all A's. They make B's and C's. They get by. They don't have any extracurricular stuff. They don't do anything outside of just basically getting through life. I'll give you an example. So my sisters told me that I was my mom's favorite because she supported me in football, because she put on the gear. She would come out, watch me play. So she supported me, and they physically could see her support me, but they never did any of that. They just kind of coasted through life like being regular. So they looked at support equals more love, whereas I look at it that love and support are completely different. So they coined me as that, and I was like, I'm not that. And as a result, you know, I get a little heat from them because they was like, you know, you was always the one that mom treated different. And that what really wasn't the case at all, but it was the fact that they could physically see them support me. So my question is, how do you support an average person if you can even do that? And does love equal support, or vice versa? Are those same, or are they completely different?
So I would say love and support are different. They can be the same in some aspects, but like you said, I don't think anybody's loved differently. But if you're not doing anything for the parents to support, like if you're not literally doing anything, well, even if you're gaming, your parents can support you in gaming if you're trying to do that as a living or whatever. Long as you're trying to, even if you're trying to get a job, they can support you. Hey, keep good job, your job, keep getting better, try and get a better job, stuff like that. They can do that kind of support. But if you're not doing anything, then yeah, they're still going to love you, but what they have nothing, what are they can, all they can do is try and push you into things. And then now you might get offended by it, but that's the way of supporting, is trying to push you into getting different things and trying to make you a better person, or trying to get you to try new things out. That would be a form of support in my eyes versus just letting you coast by. To me, that is supporting. Hey, I'm going to try and do this. Why don't you go do this? Why don't you try and do that? At least give it options. They say no. Well, then at least you try to support them and give them something, some kind of other option to do. I went to all your games, so I love you more, but you had something you were doing. Same thing for me. I played football, basketball, and baseball. My parents came out to all my games. My brother, he played basketball 1 year. Other than that, he didn't really play that, but he liked to rap. So my mom would support him in rap and stuff. So, which is fine. That was her support for him. But she would come out to my games and watch, because that's what I enjoyed doing. Each person, you have to find their own unique way of supporting. And if they're just coasting by, then I think support would be just offering new opportunities. Hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you go try and do that? Why don't you try to dabble in this or that? That's a way of support. And you might not see it as you're receiving it, but they're trying to do something to get you into something else.
Right. And I think that just the nature of, you know, sports versus other aspects of life, like your mom's not going to pull up to an average 8 to 5 job and sit outside of, you know, the bank and cheer you on while you're being a bank teller or something, you know.
Give that money out, Tom. Give that money out. Let's go.
You pull that money.
Deposit
girl.
That check.
You pull that 100, girl. You do that thing. You know, so, no, but my thing would be, I could see them making that argument if, say, they played sports. Correct. And your mom would come out and watch them or cheer for them. Then I might could see that argument, but it's just like, you know, just the nature of the game. Sports are something that have fans. Not every path in life is going to have something that has fans. So, you know, if they played an instrument and they had, you know, band competitions or recitals or plays because they were in theater, then that would be something like, okay, if your mom didn't go watch them, then I could see them having those feelings. But if they've never done anything like that, then that's not on you. That's not on you or your mom. You know, that's just the nature of the game. That's just not something that you can kind of go and show your support for them in that area.
That's why I'm asking, how do you support an average person, Tom?
Well, I don't necessarily mean that they're average, because you can be an average basketball player. You can be an average.
Well, no, that's you playing sports. I just told you what the definition of an average person is. An average person is somebody that doesn't do anything extracurricular outside of school, and they're barely making it through school. They're doing just enough to pass and don't have any desires other than just kind of coasting through life.
Right.
How do you support it?
I think the way you support them and that is to try to push them to be more than just coasting.
Which is that's what I said. You give them new opportunities. Hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you try to do this? Why don't you try to get a job? Or why don't you try to do this? But you do it in not a demanding way. You have to do it in a supportive way.
Exactly.
Okay. So this will transition me over to the question. Do you think love equals support or support equals love? You think they're two separate?
I think they're separate.
Yeah, I'd say they're separate because, my thing is you can love someone and support them. But also sometimes loving someone is not supporting something they do. Because like maybe sometimes somebody is doing something
bad.
Right, that you know is not good for him. Like if I have a little brother that wants to go out and rob banks, I'm not going to support him in being a criminal. So, you know,
right.
The love is going to come in by having that tough talk. Like, hey, you need to get your act together, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, so and this will be close to my final question in terms of this particular subject. So if you're the benefactor of the support of your parents, and your siblings are not because they're just average people just kind of cruising through life. How do you kind of offset that a little bit? Because now your brothers and sisters like, yo, like they're telling you like, yeah, you know, it sucks that, you know, mom supports you and she doesn't support me. How do you kind of deflect that to where it doesn't affect you and your brother and sister relationship?
I think the simple question is so what did you do growing up that mom could have supported you in? What were you doing during your life at that time she could have helped support with? Were you doing anything that she could support you? Were you working? Well, she was supporting you for that. She was happy you had a job. Did she mention certain things to try and get into? Hey, maybe you should try out for sports. Maybe you should get into this. That's support. Now, if you say, hey, I didn't do anything, well, there's your reason why she didn't support you, because you had nothing for her to support. You weren't doing anything besides just skating by. She can't support you skating by. That's not something you support. There's no way you can measure that. So you'd have to ask that question. Hey, so what did you do that mom or dad could have supported you during this time? If you weren't doing anything, what do you expect them to do? They have nothing that they can do to help you besides, hey, offer new opportunities. And if you don't want to take them, that was support. They offered you things to try to do. If you chose not to do them, you turned down their support.
Okay.
That would be my thoughts.
What you got, Tom?
Well, my first question is, do your sisters listen to the podcast?
Well, no. This has nothing to do with just my sisters. So you have to understand this though, Tom. I've had this conversation at the gym. You know, I've called my guy brothers. I've called my close friends, and I've talked to them about it. And what they've told me was very interesting. Just the feedback, because you're either on one or the other side of the coin. And I had an opportunity to meet somebody that was on both sides of the coin, where their dad treated them like he was a redhead stepchild, but their mom, to offset that, treated them like they was God's gift to mankind. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, we all, from our perspective, if you look at our siblings, say that one of them was our parents' favorite, and then if you ask them, they would say somebody else. So it all just boils down to perspective. And it's always interesting hearing what people say, because, you know, I've talked to people that was like, yeah, you know, I played football, or I did this and my siblings didn't do anything. And I was that cash cow, or I was the one that had all the attention, not because I wanted it, but because I was the only one in the house that was doing anything. And then I had an opportunity to talk to some people that was just that average citizen, was just like, yeah, bro, it sucked. It was like, you know, I tried to do stuff. I just didn't have the will, or I was happy just being average. And I was like, yo, I've never heard that. And this came out of their mouth. I was happy with being average because that's what fulfilled my life. And I never ran up on anybody that had ever said that. And it was like, until this day, I'm still that same average person. And I was like, mind blown. Whoa. And he was fine. He was okay with not being the favorite or not being supported. But as a result of that, how he interacts with his kids is completely different.
Yeah, I you know, and this, you're going to see that throughout life. And I feel like maybe we need to bring on a psychologist, a family therapist to come talk about.
That's what I'm here for.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you were trained in that year.
Yeah.
I mean,
That was my minor. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
So if you was to look at your family dynamic, like with your brothers and sisters, because obviously I'm not the only one with siblings, and somebody would have asked you, yo, who was your parents' favorite? None of us probably would say us, other than Gary.
I'm not saying myself.
Right.
But everybody else would say myself, but...
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what's crazy, because it's all perspective. So it doesn't matter what you do and how you do it. It's always, you're always left up to being judged by the perspective of the person that's judging you.
Well, yeah, and a lot of it, they base it off of success. That's what they try to, people try to quantitate it, to put it that aspect. Oh, were you successful? Then your parents are probably more proud of you. That doesn't necessarily mean that's true. Like, also growing up, some kids, like, I know I was a terrible kid when I was really young, but as I got older, I wasn't that way. I was focused on sports. So, like, I was easy to deal with from, like, 9 to about till 18. So, now, my brother, on the other hand, was different. So for him,
I have to say this. Gary's not lying when he said he was a terrible kid, because he had told me this before, and I was like, bullshit, Gary. There's no way, bro. There's no way. Had a chance to sit down with mom and dad and, like, some of his friends, like, his childhood friends, and I couldn't believe the stories that I was like, Gary? Like, this Gary Barnett, this guy right here. They was like, yeah, man, he came a long way. I was like, Gary, he did that? Like, it is him. This one right here. Like, wow, something, yeah, I'd never, ever imagined him doing, like, he did. And then he would tell me stories, and I'm like, Gary, stop lying, bro. I like you. You don't have to lie to kick it, bro. Like, you still going to be my boy. And then and this is how the stories were confirmed. We would get around his boys, and without him bringing it up, they would be like, hey, Gary, you remember when you... I was like, oh, shit, he really did that.
The theory of mine that Gary is really the undercover bad boy of the group. You know, D'Angelo, you put it out there for everyone to see, and Gary's the sneaky one that is sneaking on you. Look,
some of the shit that he did when he was younger, bro, I've never done. And I'm like, but I'm coin the bad guy. I'm going to back. But go ahead, Gary. Well,
but that was because I was younger. So, and I didn't. So growing up, I didn't have the thing. Like, I didn't have sports to take my mind off of it. So I was just, I did whatever I wanted. I didn't want to listen. I was a bad kid when I was younger. But once I had sports, it gave me something.
He really telling the truth.
It gave me something to strive for and to better myself. So I used sports as my avenue for that. And then from like 10 on, I was good. Like, I completely changed how I was. And I think a lot of that is also dynamics in families. Is sometimes one kid's a lot harder to handle growing up all the way till they're 18. Your parents don't love them less, but they're going to seem like they're not the favorite because they're always getting in trouble. But just because they were getting in trouble, that's because they were putting themselves in trouble. I never got in trouble from like 10 years old on 18. I didn't miss school. I did everything I needed to do because I wanted to play sports. I was focused on that. So there was different things, different circumstances that are play with everybody's family dynamic. So that plays a big part of, hey, I might not be supported because you were getting yelled at or getting disciplined a lot because of the way they were being. But that's part of it. That's part as a parent you have to do. So I think that probably gets taken, like you said, perspective. Some of the kids you might say are average because they don't want to do anything. Their perspective, maybe they were a bad child or not a problem child growing up, and the parents had to discipline them or get onto them more. So they might feel a certain type of way because of it, but the parents still try to support them. They're trying not to get them in that way, but they made those decisions that forced the parents' hand on things.
I mean, I agree, but we learned something about Gary today. Not only was he a bad problem child, but he always goes around and tells people that he has CTE. Now I realize that stands for child therapy education.
Yeah. But what about you, Tom? What about the family dynamic? If you was to point out one person that you thought was the favorite from your perspective, did it boil down to how successful they was, or was it truly like, yo, they was clearly the favorite?
Well, honestly, I think that, at least in my family dynamic, everyone kind of had their own thing that made it different. Because growing up, it was me and my mom. I was her first, and then she had my little sister when I was like 5. So obviously, it was just me and her for like 5 years. And so we had a bond. And, you know, there's something always about being the first that's going to have you bonded. And then so my little sister came next.
I wouldn't know about that.
Sorry, Gary.
Neither would I, Gary. I don't know what that feels like either. But go ahead and rub it in our face, Tom.
Right. You know, there's always something about being the first that means you're the best. But and then my little sister, she came second. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's stuff that comes along with being the first girl or the girl of the group. And, like, you know, she obviously was probably more my mom's favorite on the side of she wasn't as messy as I was, or she helped her around the house more than I did. She did more girl stuff with her, obviously, so she could bond with her on that level. And then my little brother was born when I was 15. So there's this huge gap right there. And so by that point, he's just the baby. And, you know, we're kind of help raising him. And we're, you know, I'm already in college by the time he starts school. So it's like, you know, we each had our time in the sun. I don't think there's necessarily one overall favorite at any time, because we've all given her our headaches, fair share. And then, of course, you know, just being the fact that I'm the best overall athlete that's come out of Stedman in, you know, however many years. I always got that support. I can't wait to play y'all in basketball. But no, I'd say that's the dynamic of our family. I know each family's different, so.
So it's funny you say that about basketball. I have one of my buddies who says he's good at basketball, right? Sorry, completely changed the topic. But he says he's good at basketball. I said, I'll bet you $100 you won't score 5 points on me. And he said, bet. I said, all right, you will not score 5 points on me. I promise you. Because he literally is, I'm going to say he's 5'7", 5'8". Right. And he's not. He says he's a shooter, but he's not a shooter. And he's listened to the podcast a few times, so I'm calling him out right now too. But so we're gonna play next time we're together. His name is John Pavlonis.
Oh, I was gonna say it's not
the cheese man.
Yes. So his nickname is Cheese. Next time he's here, we're playing for $100, and I might goose egg him and I get double my money. I might goose egg him. He thinks I'm not gonna play on him. I'm gonna play hard. Knows defense on him, and he is not scoring.
What if he comes out and goose eggs you? Does he get double?
No, he gets double if he beats me. All he has to do is beat me, but he's not beating me.
Beat you.
He gets 100 if he scores 5 points, but he's not going to score 5 points to 11. No chance.
Wow.
Talk to the last person that bet me $100 in basketball. His name was Ahmed Awadal, and I dominated him.
My question here is it make it, take it, or
I said make it, take it, but I said I'll let you not have make it, take it. That's fine.
I was about to say, because if it's make it, take it, I feel like that's going to be too easy for you, Gary. All you got to do is back him down every time.
That's the thing. Everybody said, I don't like to back down. That's not my game. I can if I have to, but I don't like to, so I won't do that all the time. I will do it some, but I won't do it the whole time.
Gary, I'm not trying to play you, but just because I've seen you, like, run on the field and, like, see you walk around, I feel like you've got to have the ugliest-looking jump shot that I've ever seen.
No, he's not shooting. He's going to back him down and play big boy ball the entire game.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It might go in, but I can just imagine that your jump shot just does not look pretty at all. But I'm not saying
if you want to play, I'll play you for money, too.
Hey, well, see, here's the thing too, and people don't understand this. And I don't want to bird walk, and I know this will probably be the last topic, and then we got to let you beautiful people go. Thanks for listening to us today. But there's a negative connotation that comes with basketball players that they're soft. Football players, we're rough, we're aggressive, we get underneath the basket, and we big boy. We could have the worst shot ever, but we're gonna out physical you. Just like I would put money that Gary could probably out-physical LeBron James. You can say what you want to say, but I'm just telling you. I'm telling you because you're more physical than him, Gary. I know this. If you was to twist your ankle or your knee or something, you won't be carried off the court in a wheelchair. I'll probably
continue playing.
Right. This is what I'm talking about. I don't understand the softness that associated with basketball players and how they operate and how they manage their business. I'm going with Gary 100% of the time, whether we playing against basketball players or not. I mean, other than, you know, extreme shooters, anybody else, I got Gary.
Well, we'll see.
I like the confidence, but I wouldn't have me on every against everybody. But
basketball player, bro, I've seen them play. Like we beat, I'll give you a case in point. When our basketball team had DeJuan Wagner and all those guys, man, Lopez, we played them guys in the gym. It was football players versus basketball players, and we beat them cats by 10. In the gym, four quarters, we beat them cats by 10. They all could play, but we was just so much more physical than them. They was calling fouls, and we was like, bro, you really going to call a foul? Like, you a basketball player. Yeah,
it is but much different. Like, I truly believe there's a lot of street ball players that would dominate a lot of NBA players because if you play by street ball rules, you're not calling these ticky-tack fouls, and they will get dominated. I truly believe the street ball player is a lot tougher. They will play harder. And if you played by those rules where you don't get these little ticky-tack fouls, they would beat a lot of the NBA players, honestly.
Let's call it what it is, though. Sometimes they're not ticky-tack fouls. I've played with many a football player in my life.
Here we go.
You can always tell who are the football players in the gym because they – and I will say this. They usually have the biggest motor, as in they go, 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 go. But they are always the ones that are like a bull in a china shop and definitely would foul out in a real game because they are everywhere and just attacking everybody.
All I can tell you, Tom, is if I ever played you, you could do whatever you want. I would never call a foul. You could push me down, and I'm not going to call a foul. That's just not how I am.
Right.
I'll get up, and I'll make sure I'll get that ball back. Right. That's my mentality, though. I don't want, I jump up, you tap my elbow. I'm not going to call a foul. This is not what I'm going to do, personally.
No, that's why when it happens,
that's when it's frustrating to see.
I don't call fouls unless it's like blatantly obvious. Right.
Yes.
Because that's how I am too, you know, like just play through it.
I can tell you right now, Tom, I know what type of basketball player you are because you're a LeBron James fan, so I know you're an extreme flopper. We know that. You're gonna take everything. You're taking charges in the rec and all that. I can't do that. I don't like players like you in the rec.
He said he did lead the rec league in charges.
Right, I did. That was my number one set. That's how I made all-star team.
No, he didn't, bro. He didn't say that. Did he really?
No, I didn't say that. You know what's funny, though? Hey, but there's something to be said about somebody that's willing to take a charge because that is some next-level dedication, putting your body on the line like that. Now, I'm not saying all charges. I'm talking about, like, the real legit charges because I remember when I was in high school, our basketball team – anybody that took a charge, our coach gave them like a free Gatorade and you didn't have to do the conditioning at the end of the practice or something because it is such a big play. Like it's a momentum stopper. You put your body on the line. I mean, we had to do charge drills.
I'd rather just block your shot.
Well, you know, you can't always block everything, Gary, just because you're
–
just because you –
I don't know. I don't know.
I really somehow need to set up a game between LeBron James and Gary Barnage so that I can
He would beat me. I'm not gonna
I got my money on you, Gary. Just
First time he calls a ticky tack foul, I'm gonna point at you time and say, seriously? Seriously.
Yeah. Gonna hit him with that Leonardo DiCaprio. See.
The podcast is going sideways. But listen, fellas, I need you to tell him about Serve the Story. This last week was a hit with the Blonde Bandits and, you know, Ishwara Parda and Leo and Lana. Well, they came heavy.
Bro.
And Nathan and Cody, come on.
Yeah, Nathan and Cody, there you go.
I know Nathan and Cody, they were more inspirational.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I like the inspirational. I was able to dig and able to follow that. But I'm going to tell you who shocked me. Them damn Blonde Bandits, wow. Did they not come out of their shell, bro? Like, I was like, whoa, where did this come from? And then a partner coming in hot, I'm like, okay, I can see why, you said parental. You put those. Yeah, you put that parental advisor on. I was like, well, who is it? I was like, okay, I can see a partner, but I didn't know that the blind badness was coming as hard as they came. I like it though, but you know, we'll see how the next episode go.
All right. Well, we will release the next episode on Thursday.
I was muted.
But we will release that next episode this Thursday. And then, Dee, do you want to kind of tease a little bit about what we're planning for the future, or just?
No, I'm not going to tease it just yet. I'm going to tease it next week. You know what? We'll tease it. So, you know.
Nope, next week. Mute.
Oh, mute!
Mute the end of it, baby. We'll save it for next week so everybody can come back and tune in to hear what D'Angelo has to say about what we have planned.
We do have something pretty exciting coming with Serve the Story. So tune in next week and find out what it is.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.